in WBAI that you're going to keep this
last call for
forward.
That premium it's because the show is running a little long. We're going to cut it off and go to our 8 p.m. program, which is what's happening with Betty Davis and Ralph Pointer. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org.
Running over tonight. This is What's Happening on WBAI 99.5 FM. And you are listening to Betty Davis. And hopefully in a little while, you will hear our host, Ralph Pointer. But in the meantime, our guests are very special tonight because we are discussing two incredibly important issues. Immigrants and detainees on strike with Maya Schoen, and many of you remember her and Ralph Schoenman from Taking Aim, and her colleagues. And in addition to that, we hope to have a special bonus for you, Anna Lopez, who will be pitching in for Oscar Lopez Rivera, who unfortunately has come down with a horrendous cold and is very hoarse. So, Anna Lopez will be discussing with us an analysis of the Summit of the Americas to pitch in for Oscar Lopez Rivera. So without further ado, I'm going to turn the mic over to someone you know from Taking Aim fame, you know for being an advocate for political prisoners, and successfully in the case of Sister Lynn Stewart, you know because of all of her actions to defend Palestine. You know, because of all of her actions against the fascist state in this country. So without further ado, so many names I could call you. Comrade, sister, warrior, Maya Schoen, the mic is yours.
Oh, Betty, you're so sweet. I'm honored, Betty. And it's always a pleasure to be with you and Ralph. But today, I want to reflect back many, many years. As everyone knows, most of your people listening here today were avid Taking Aim listeners long ago. And we did a three-part series called Buried Alive, Torture in America, the end of which dealt with prison labor, which is involuntary servitude, forced labor, the new form of slavery. And for instance, in the federal prisons, it is an obligation for each and every prisoner to work. And they're working at 14 cents an hour, or they're working at the most a dollar a day, unless they're in the prison industrial complex through Unicor, where they may make a little bit extra. Today, we're going to deal with another subject, and we have two incredible advocates, and we're also going to have the immigrant detainees themselves. This is the forced imprisonment of those who flee to the United States because of the disruptions in their lives as a result of corporate capital with NAFTA and the USMCA. We have with us Lisa Knox, who's the legal director of the California Collaborative for Immigrant Justice. And we have with us Esperanza Quelty, who's the co-director of Pangea Legal Services, which is an immigrant rights law firm. And both are in the Bay Area. They both have many years of involvement in the struggle for immigrants, and particularly immigrant detainees, those who were forced by the federal government into these horrendous detention centers. Right now, there is a strike, a labor strike. Now, this is important to know that these immigrants, there have been hunger strikes in the past. And there, as you know, there have been in 2013, there was a nationwide hunger strike among prisoners in the federal system. But now we're having in the ICE detention labor strikes as workers, as forced labor, and where they so-called in the ICE detention make a dollar a day, which cannot buy them the toilet paper, the toothpaste, the calls that they have to make. So I'm going to turn it over to both Lisa and Esperanza, and they're going to give you the details of the strike at the Golden State Annex in McFarland and the Mesa Verde ICE detention facility in Bakersfield. I only want to add that both of these facilities are owned by GEO, the second largest private prison corporation in the world. And their largest income comes from their collaboration with ICE. Oh. And one of their high officials was a top official for the ICE removal, you know, for the immigrant removal section. So you have a revolving door. So Lisa and Esperanza.
May I interject here? I understand Comrade Ralph Pointer is connected now. We'd like to give him an opportunity to salute our comrades and our guests for this evening. Ralph, I hope your mic is open, and thank you, Max. Max, Ralph, can you hear us? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Looks like we're having a little trouble. So continue, Lisa. Sorry for the interruption.
Well, thank you so much, Betty. And Ralph, hopefully when he can join us in Maya, I'm so honored to share space with all of you and to be here today. And, you know, as Maya said, I want to underscore this point that there are right now 27,000 immigrants who are in detention. The vast majority are in these private for-profit detention centers run by corporations like GEO Corp. And today we're going to hear from two folks who are leading strikes at two GEO-run facilities in the Central Valley. And GEO just signed a contract last year that was worth about $1 billion, $1.5 billion for operating these facilities over 15 years. So they're making millions of dollars per year off operating these facilities and caging immigrants. And so that's the backdrop with which we start. And folks in these facilities, there's something called a voluntary, quote unquote, work program, where folks are basically forced to work for $1 a day, as Maya said. And there's this legal fiction, right? Folks in immigration detention, they're not there for punishment. It's civil detention. It's just supposed to be so that people show up while they're going through the deportation process. But if anything, the conditions and the exploitation that immigrant workers face in detention is even worse than in some prisons. And so folks are getting paid $1 a day to do the jobs that are necessary to keep these facilities running and to earn GOA profit. They're cleaning the dorms, they're cleaning the bathrooms, they're in some cases running the kitchens. And so these facilities really can't operate without detained labor and without exploiting these detained workers. And so, as I mentioned, there are these two facilities in Kern County and the Central Valley, the Golden State Annex and Mesa Verde, operated by GEO Group, where workers have had enough and they've gone on labor strike. And so we'll hear from two strike leaders at those facilities who will tell us more about their struggle. And I'll also turn it over to my colleague Esperanza to give a bit more background. But before that, I just wanted to give everyone a concrete way that you can support the strikers right now. And the way you can do that is by donating to their strike fund. And so I'll give you the website to do that. It's kwesi.org/donate. Again, kwesi.org/donate. And so that's a way that you can really make a concrete way that you can support these workers right now as they fight against their exploitation. And so with that, I'll turn it over to my colleague Esperanza.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Hello, Maya and Betty and Ralph. Hopefully he can connect soon and we'll get a chance to say hello. So I wanted to provide a little bit of more context around why is it that people are going on labor strike? This is the second yet longest labor strike in a period of 8 months. The first strike occurred in late October of 2021 when GEO tried to cut down the number of porters from 10 total to 2 porters per shift to clean and maintain a dorm with a bed capacity of up to 88 people. The strike lasted about 17 days and folks were able to achieve most of their demands. Currently, leaders detained at Mesa Verde are on their 55th day of strike, and it has spread to Golden State Annex, which is a neighboring detention facility about 20 miles away from Mesa Verde. As Maya mentioned, both facilities are owned by the GEO Group. Additionally, I also want to share that the goal of this labor strike is far beyond fighting for a decent wage and improving detention conditions. Leaders in detention are protesting years of perpetuated abuse that we have only seen worsen during the pandemic. Leaders detained by ICE are experiencing mistreatment. They are seeing persistent medical negligence. Their requests to see a doctor get delayed. Recently, I just heard that someone who has a tumor on their neck, they have been scheduled to see a doctor until late August. And this person has already signed their deportation. So imagine they're scheduling this doctor appointment way far out. Just in case that, you know, if this person gets detained, ICE doesn't have to hold themselves liable for any medical costs. And this is something that we've seen them do again and again, that they're scheduling people far out to ensure that once they get, you know, deported, they don't have to care. They don't have to provide any medical care for this kind of situations and for people who come into the facility with needing to see a doctor. There's also inadequate meals that lack any nutritional value. Private companies are profiting off of our community members, such as Telmate, you know, who charge very high prices for video calls. They charge a lot of money for people to log into tablets and send messages or even see a picture of their loved ones. They're also indefinitely isolated from the family members. During the pandemic, we've only seen these conditions worsen, and also they haven't been able to see their family members in over 3 years. Go ahead, Betty.
I just want to remind people, I hate to interrupt this incredible narrative, that you are listening to WBAI 99.5 FM. We are free public radio. And if you want to keep it that way, we're hoping that you will dial into 212-209-2950 while this program is going on and make a donation. No donation is too small. If you want to be a sustainer at $5 a month, we are grateful. In addition to that, you have heard our comrade Lisa say that these detainees are on strike and they could use your donation. And before the program is over, we're going to allow you to hear that website again. Thank you, Esperanza, for joining us. And I want you to know that Lisa was one of the first to take on this struggle. Your mic is open. Continue.
Thank you, Betty. And then I just wanted to close up with saying, you know, with folks who are at the Golden State Annex currently on strike, they something that they've highlighted is they're working and getting paid $1 a day, while GSA, Golden State Annex, has increased both prices and taxes on items that they frequently buy without advance notice. And, you know, when people buy commissary once a week, their GSA is practically taxing them what they make in that week for every order that they make, you know. So it's crazy the amount of money that they're making off of folks. And we're going to be hearing, you know, now from our leaders who are currently on the phone, Serafin and Guillermo, but it's just really crazy that we want to highlight, you know, all of this mass, you know, this massive profit that GEO and ICE are making off of folks. So with that, I'll hand it over to Serafin, who can provide more information about, you know, what they're facing right now, the struggle that they're in the middle of in their fight.
Yes, thank you, Esperanza, and thank you, everyone, for allowing this space for us to share our story and what goes on behind these walls. Yes, this is the exploitation of human beings and being treated subhuman. For us, it's really frustrating that, you know, we're being forced to work to earn a dollar a day, which is pennies, and still being treated with no dignity and respect, without any humanity. For us, this is really infuriating and outrageous that this is allowed to happen, that we're being exploited in such a way that they continue, you know, the system continues to profit off of our labor and off of us just being here in these detention centers. And this is something that I believe goes on across the nation. Yes. And for us, you know, working for these pennies doesn't amount to anything at the end of the week when we have to buy a bag of rice, an 8-ounce bag of rice for $2.75, or, you know, make a phone call to our family's video phone call, which is $3.15 for 15 minutes. As you can imagine, that is nothing. We $5 a week doesn't get us anything. And, you know, as is mentioned, the price is on commissary, and just in itself, the negligence that we are being treated with all across the board with medical and the food that is served in the dining halls is really awful, or they're very small portions. And this is something that, as you know, we continue this labor strike that we are asking to be paid, which is the minimum wage for California. And in this way, we would be able to, you know, sustain ourselves while we're in these detention centers. In the meantime, some of us don't have any family that we can rely on to be able to provide for us. And just buying basic necessities for ourselves at $5 a week is not enough. And, you know, one other thing just to highlight is that for us, as we continue to strike 50-something days in, nothing is being done. We're not being talked to or addressed or coming to terms in the form of compromise or anything like that with the facility. They just pretty much wash their hands with whatever it is that we're requesting, and that is pretty much it.
All right. Can we have our next guest, please?
Well, we have Anna on the phone.
All right. While we wait for our next speaker, we're going to segue to our second discussion, and we will be coming back because it's all connected. It's all about capitalism. It's all about imperialism. And we thank our first guest. We thank Lisa. We thank Esperanza. And, of course, we thank Maya. All right. Anna Lopez. We are so grateful that you're able to pitch in for Oscar tonight. As you know, Anna Lopez is an advocate for political prisoners. She has been the shining light for the independistas of Puerto Rico. She's been the shining light for Oscar Lopez Rivera. She's currently fighting for all of the other political prisoners who are still in the death camps. Anna, your mic is open and welcome.
Thank you so much, Betty and Ralph, and for this wonderful program that you have put together. I'm really sorry Oscar cannot be with us today.
I just want to interrupt for you for just 1 second. We have Gail Yumel from the prison who will be coming on. I want everybody to know that we will be allowing him to come on. But Anna, you continue and pardon me.
Okay, no problem. So I just want to thank everybody on Monday, June 20th, with the case of Puerto Rico was heard at the United Nations Decolonization Committee. And the resolution was by consensus of all the countries that are members of the Decolonization Committee, consensus demanding and urging the United States to transfer powers to the Puerto Rican people, decolonize Puerto Rico, and respect the self-determination and independence for Puerto Rico. An overwhelming majority of the persons who were present in the giving in the testimony in the hearing were pro-independence members. And something very interesting occurred. The former governor of the statehood party that advocates for statehood in Puerto Rico did show up at the hearing, and everybody got up and walked out as a form of protest. This is the governor that was ousted, was forced to resign in 2019 in Puerto Rico by the demand of the people. 1 million people took to the street demanding his resignation. And we were saying that it was, how could he have the audacity to show up at the Decolonization Committee? It was repugnant to have his presence there. And so that the people inside the hearing stood up and walked out to show their repugnance and denouncing his presence there. But the resolution of the UN committee was overwhelming in favor of Puerto Rico's self-determination and independence. And then after that, across the street we had, in the plaza, we had a rally, and that was also a reflection of what occurred inside the UN, where over 30 different members of organizations gave solidarity, standing people from Puerto Rico, people from the diaspora, people from the international community, and our allies gave statements in solidarity of Puerto Rico's independence. And we spoke about this 50-year anniversary and our commitment to further come together and further elaborate and amplify our movement to free Puerto Rico from U.S. colonial rule. It's been 124 years that Puerto Rico has been a colony of the United States. Shame on the United States, and Puerto Rico is a classical colony. And Ralph was there. Ralph gave his solidarity statement on behalf of the Lynn Stewart organization. We also had a cultural component, and even from the culture component, you could actually see how vivid the Puerto Rican culture, language, and spirit is embedded in the generations of Puerto Ricans who have lived in the United States. Everyone in, who manifested the culture component of performances, they are all Puerto Ricans born and raised in the United States. And it was incredible to see how that culture, language, and spirit is maintained from generation to generation for in future generations, and they are calling for the independence of Puerto Rico. So one of the things that the statehooders critique inside the UN was that they didn't like the idea that the Puerto Rican diaspora was asking for independence. There's 6 million of us in the diaspora. And I basically just said to that he doesn't get it. You know, once you live here and we live statehood every day, and our discrimination against us and the economic plight and the problems that we confronted, especially during the pandemic, where majority of the people who died from the negligence were brown people, black and Latino people. So how can you want to be part of a country that does not protect its citizens and it's racist and violates human rights every day here in the United States?
So thank you, Anna.
I say that it was a wonderful program. And I don't know, Betty, if you can basically reflect on what we did so far.
I want to thank you for that summary, because I was just told by the tech that Ralph would like to, is connected now. And I think he would be more effective.
Hello.
Because he was there. Yes, your mic is open.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so sorry that the hospital kept me late. But one of the things that came out in the demonstration yesterday was the issue of capitalism, how it works. And the reality is, when there are organizations creating capital for a few people in America, it's disaster for wherever they are. It's disaster in Puerto Rico. It's disaster in Haiti. It's disaster in Hawaii. Someone said, well, if you can find a Hawaiian, ask them what statehood means. It means that the people are disappeared. The culture is disappeared. And that's the reason why people don't want it. People want independence for real. And people in America are not too much involved in wanting to see others have independence, because we here enjoy the crumbs of imperialism, which is pretty good. We don't want to know the truth. Ask Julian Assange, who was sitting in prison about to be extradited to America to be killed, murdered, and for what was his crime? His crime was telling the truth. We Americans, as our dear departed sister Lynn says, we don't want to know the why of anything. We just want to have a kitchen in every pot, a car in every garage, and now we're finding that we are not having a car. The price of having a car is too much. The price of gas is too much. Now we're losing our homes because we don't have health care. And one of the things that happens, if you don't have health care and you happen to get sick, the only bill that you can't, there are two bills, that there are two debts that you cannot dispense with, and that's the education debt, that's the student debt, and the medical debt. And so if you are sick, you lose your home because we don't have a national health care program. The homeless don't lose homes. It's the middle class people who lose homes, people who are on their way to getting homes, people who have homes, and these are the people who lose homes. And so when we talk about things such as colonial powers, or supporting those who are trying to get out from under colonial powers, we are the people we're talking about.
But Brother Ralph, I'm going to have to interject here, because if we, as you point out, don't do something about it, it will never change. And so we must take another break and get back to Guillermo. But we want to thank you, and we want to thank Sister Anna Lopez for this contribution this evening. Tech?
Thank you.
Can we do something
thank
about
you.
It?
Just listen.
Well, we're tired of marching, and WBAI is your partner in helping you do something about it. All of we is one. People don't leave their homes. They love their homes. People don't leave their forests and their homes in the country they come from to just come here and be whipped and beaten and enslaved. They do this because their wealth from their country is here, and I hope they're coming back to get a little bit of it. And tonight we are talking about some people who are doing something about it. And one of them, I believe, is Guillermo, and I hope he's still on the line, because we must join him, and we hope he will join us in our struggles to change it. Guillermo, your mic is open, I hope.
Hey there, Ms. Davis. Thank you very much. And yeah, totally, this is a fight that we all are fighting for, and goal that we're all going to strive our best to do. Like you said, we're all brothers and sisters in this. So a little bit about this labor strike that we're doing, Muhammad, the brothers that I think I explained earlier, the conditions in here are really bad. We're just being put through the worst tests. It got to the point to where, like Lisa and I said, it's almost like a prison. We had just, for those of us who have done time and were incarcerated, it got to the point to where we'd rather go back to prison after being released, because we're just treated unfairly here. In the prison where I was at, they were being paid more for what they're paying us here, $1 a day. They were earning hundreds of dollars a month over there, in the TIA workers. So it is really unfair the way they're treated us here. The barbers, so they're mandated to keep us a clean cut, right? But the barbers here are cutting 3, 4, 5 different people's hair for $1. I'm not too sure about the cost out there of the barbers, but I do know they get paid more than $1 per person, right? So and they don't want to provide any other means in us to get those haircuts. To clean the showers, we're walking in mold. They don't want to. We have to do it, and if we don't do it, then we get retaliated upon, taking away certain activities. Like I said, we have more freedom in prison than we do after being released, which is it makes no sense. So we do appreciate you guys taking the time and listening to everything that we have to say. Thank you for joining our struggles, and we're going to keep pushing forward for this labor strike, hoping to make a statement and have some type of impact, especially for those people that don't have anything and that do depend on their $5 to talk to their family or whether it's for food or whatever their reasons are. So thank you guys very much for everything. We really appreciate it.
Well, we want to thank you for listening to Lisa Knox, Esperanza, and you're listening to Ana Lopez, and you're listening to Maya Schoen and Ralph Pointer. And we're going to open up our mics now, 212-209-2877 for the call-ins. 212-209-2877 for the call-ins. And I believe we have someone that's already available to speak with us. Max?
Good evening.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Your mic is open. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Battle Creek, Michigan. But I call because this is so ironic that we're talking about the GEO Corporation, which actually has over 134 detention centers across the globe. I'm calling about Angola, which is one of many, of course, prison camps or incarceration centers. In Angola, which was named after the country in Africa, you have 2,000 inmates that were told that their cases have been overturned by the Supreme Court. And they actually were 2 years ago. And the Supreme Court asked that those inmates be released. And Angola prison has yet to release these individuals. We're saying that the United States has the largest incarceration arena if you say massively across the globe, there are 1 million Africans in these prison, in this prison. Not to say that we're not fighting this alone. I think that we do need to combine. I'm speaking to Lisa Esperanza, Guillermo, Anna Lopez, but with regards to the inmate turnover of being released or unincarcerated by the Supreme Court, that was due to Louisiana United International, which is Belinda Parker Brown out of Louisiana. She was the fighter to cause that to happen, but yet they still keep these people incarcerated. The fact of the matter is that we are the colonizers, money makers. We make and develop money for them. I believe that we all must combine because we're really in a war. We're in a global war, and we're fighting this imperialist capitalistic system, a material capitalistic system, and it's ferocious in its undertaking. It definitely does not mind us dying. Doesn't care how they do it, how they mistreat people, but they don't care about us. But we all on this call know that we do need to combine to fight this war. I'm going to say Uhuru, which means freedom, and that's what we need. Would you not agree? Thank you.
Thank you. I believe we have one more caller. We're going to open your mic, and the call-in number is 212-209-2877. I got it right that time. Caller, your mic is open. Where are you calling from?
Thank you. From Brooklyn. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you for calling.
Okay. It's concerning about the Puerto Rico political status. It should be to the Puerto Ricans there to vote. What do they want? Do they want independent or stay the same or statehood the same as is? It should be there for them, to all of them, to vote, as many as they can go out and vote and see what do they desire to do. Not to other nations to desire for them. That's exactly what might will be the fairest and more accurate democratic way to do it, to give them a chance to vote, to hear their voice heard on the ballot, because we are so grateful to this nation for hundreds of years and forever. Thank you very much for taking my call. God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, we appreciate that. We're going to go back to Esperanza and Lisa. We'd like, first of all, for you to mention your website again. And while you're looking up your website and enunciating it clearly for our audience, I want to remind you that we also have a fund drive going on at WBAI 99.5 FM, 212-209-2950. Try to donate to your favorite program. $5 a month is not too little to give. All right, Lisa, Esperanza, I don't know who wants to go first, but your mic is open. And once again, welcome. I want to remind people also that Lisa is a product of the California Collaborative for Immigrant Justice.
Well, may I say
thank you, Betty. And thanks to the...
Sister Betty?
We hear you.
Yes, one of the things that I always remind people, what Lynn Stewart said when she was speaking or whenever she had opportunities to speak. And her theme was, America is hooked on cheap labor like a junkie is hooked on his drugs. This is where the money comes from. Stolen land, slavery, and cheap labor, and colonialism. When we decide to do something about that, and that's what this program is about, things will get better. We're working to get people to understand that as a unit, we can change things. This is nothing new. We see when they wrote the laws and regulations
in America, they made provisions for slavery to continue after slavery was over. That is, if you are a person found guilty, legally or illegally, if you are found guilty of a felony, you are not protected by the Constitution. You are still a slave. And so this fight has been going on for many a moon to free all of the people in America. But most people in America don't know that. And in Angola, I forget how many companies are making money on the labor of the prisoners. And so this is one of the factors of the American political system.
One of the things we appreciate about this group is that they are on strike. They have said, not in our name, they are resisting. And this is how you win. You must resist.
And we must find a way to support them.
Lisa, I think you were going to say something.
Yes. Exactly. Thank you, Ralph. I think what you said is right, right? Like, we're all in this together, and only we can stop this. And so one of the ways that folks can support this strike and support this fight against exploitation that the strikers are engaged in is by donating to their strike fund. And so I'm going to give you that website again. It's kwesi.org/donate. Again, kwesi.org/donate. So that's a real concrete way that you can support this struggle that, you know, as the caller said, it's the same struggle that folks are facing in Angola and other places where these corporations, these governments that really are part of the corporate state are profiting off of caging black and brown bodies. So please donate. And I know that my comrade Esperanza also has another way that folks can support that she can share.
Before we go to Esperanza, and we will definitely go to her, we have not heard enough. I understand we have a caller. Can we open up their mic? And caller, welcome. Please tell us where you're calling from.
No, there are no callers at the moment.
Okay, this is Ralph here. I'd like to say that when you send a donation to the organizations that we are discussing tonight, remember to say, who told you so? WBAI, Pacifica, Public Radio was where you
all
heard
it. All right, Esperanza, thank you. Continue, please.
Of course. I just also wanted to notate that when folks are making a strike on your donation, when you're making that on the website, and additionally, just when I'm inside can only go so far. And it is important that we have an inside-outside strategy, right, that we build this partnership between folks inside and people in the outside. So if you want to get involved, if you want to support labor strikers right now, you can send an email to my email address, which is advocate@pangealegal.org. That is advocate@pangealegal.org.
Yes.
You can also send a text message to 415-254-0475. Again, my phone number is 415-254-0475. Send us a message, send us an email, let us know you're down to support, and we'll definitely connect you with all the next steps on how you can take action and continue amplifying the struggle that folks are fighting in Kern County right now.
Okay. I'd like to add something on solidarity and support. To date, there has been a large movement across the nation of people fighting for the detainees, the immigrants, and to try to get them out, to close the detention centers. Everybody remembers when the people were crossing and children were in cages and families were separated. It's very important that we link up the struggles of people in state and federal prison, with the struggle of the immigrant detainees. It is one struggle. It is the struggle of capitalism. And they are linked. They are tied together, and they are no more tied together than we didn't have time today to discuss NAFTA, USMCA, and the earlier free trade agreements, which affected the Caribbean basin, particularly Puerto Rico. This is very important. In labor, everybody knows with a union, one of the first things a union does is build its strike fund. The immigrant detainees do not have a strike fund. In order for them to pursue this struggle, they need your dollars. Most of them don't have families who can send in the support. In order for this to continue, and this is a key struggle in the United States today, please send your contributions. Send an email to your friends. Let them know about what's happening. Many of you are involved in prisoner support advocacy organizations, whether it's Jericho or it's the Mumia organization or others, the Lynn Stewart organizations. Betty and Ralph were among the first of the prisoner rights organizations to lend their support. Go to your organizations, get them to contact Esperanza at the email and to get a copy of the petition, get your organization to sign on to that petition and also to contribute funds so that this strike can continue. We need to link the struggles of the prisoners in Angola, the prisoners in the federal detention and the state detention facilities all across the country with the ICE detainees.
Maya, the last time I heard anything concerning Louisiana, there are over 25 corporations that are making profits from Angola Prison, which at one point is considered the worst prison in the world, not just the United States, but in the world.
And Angola was notorious for renting out chain gangs to the plantations. And it was is ever a picture of slavery, as you could see, within the prison industrial system. Angola was the foremost of it.
Okay, so Lisa.
To Lisa and Esperanza, please.
Yes, your mics are open. Lisa?
So, one thing that
Continue. Go ahead.
One thing I wanted to highlight, you know, in regards to how also the prison system interacts with the immigration system, there is currently advocacy going on for the California Vision Act. And this bill, if it gets signed and passed by the governor, it would prevent folks who have served their sentence from prison to going into ICE custody. Because right now what we've seen during the pandemic is that ICE was no longer going into our communities to conduct raids. What they were doing is they were going directly to the prisons, directly to the county jails to pick up folks who have already served their sentence and take them into ICE custody. So this is how they continue to maintain this deportation machine, right? And this means that folks who are currently in a prison system, if they're, depending on their immigration status, if they're undocumented or they're legal permanent residents and they are having an ICE hold or a detainer, they are going to end up, unless we do something to change the system and abolish it, they're going to continue falling into this pattern of serving a sentence and going into immigration detention instead of them getting the opportunity to go back to their communities to build a network of support and continue thriving. So this is a very, very much big and complex issue that we all need to tackle and it needs all hands on deck.
Okay.
Lisa, did you want to chime in? We're just about heading home here. Did you want to throw in?
Building on what my comrade Esperanza said, you know, people are getting doubly punished in this immigration system. People, and we know the criminal legal system, right, is targeting Black African folks and brown folks. They're then getting funneled into the immigration system, into this deportation machine, where they're again in prison, they're again exploited for profit by these corporations. So they really are one in the same system. So I think it is really important, as Maya said, that you know, we're supporting both struggles, that we're linking folks on the prison side with folks on the immigrant detention side, because it really is the same struggle at the end of the day. And I do want to give the website one more time if folks want to donate to the Strike Fund. It's kwesi.org/donate. So please, please support the Strike Fund if you can.
I also want to point out the fact that the whole concept of capitalism, they've got to have, as Sister Lynn pointed out, cheap labor. This is what capitalism is all about. And what Americans need to understand is if they can't steal from people abroad, they're going to steal from us. And now we see that the so-called Build Back Better bill is gone. The funds are gone. The funds for our education, for our public school system in New York City, drastically cut because they have to continue their imperial wars abroad. We are all in a colony wherever we are because we are under the same ruling elite. And I think that's the point that Maya is trying to make us understand. I think it's also important that you do have a tool. It is obvious we're not going to vote our way to freedom. If you can tell me the difference between Biden and Trump, maybe I'll buy you an ice cream cone. But you're definitely not going to vote your way to freedom. Maya, did you want to say a few more things as we close up? Your mic?
I think we need to end with the contact information because once again, you know, you have to grab your pen, you have to grab your pencil, or you have to type it on your phone. So if Lisa and Esperanza can give the contact information, that way we can build a bigger network.
Ralph, did you want to say some closing words before they give us? We want them, the public, to be able to get their contacts ready to receive the information. Did you want to say a few words?
Yes, I would like to. One of the things that we have to understand was how the unions were built in America. That's a struggle that is not talked about. It is not taught in school. Today, we are concerned about teaching people the history of America and the involvement of black and brown people in that history, and there's resistance to the reality of that history. Well, let us not be surprised because the history of white America is not told. The history of the union struggle in America is not told. Many people feel that the AFL-CIO is God, but that is not true. When the AFL was started, the CIO was the only organization that would have people of color in it. And the AFL did not want to involve themselves in developing a larger union. They weren't interested in working with the auto workers. They weren't interested in working with other workers. And so John L. Lewis of the UMW, United Mine Workers, put his money, his union money, into sending organizers out to broaden the unions.
Well, on that note, Ralph, we've got to segue in and let them give us their contact information because, as you pointed out, he used his own money, but our detainees do not have him. So we need the rest of the listening community from WBAI to chime in. Lisa, Esperanza, give them the information. And I guess we're going to have to say goodnight and tell you what's coming next week. Can you give us your contact information one more time?
Of course. For folks who want to get involved and support strikers detained in Kern County, my email address is advocate@pangealegal.org. That's PangeaLegal.org. And our phone number is 415-254-0475. Once again, that's 415-254-0475. Send us a message and we'll connect you with all the next steps and action items where we will need your support.
Well, we want to thank Esperanza. We want to thank Lisa Knox. We want to thank our dear comrade, Maya Schoen. And we especially want to acknowledge Oscar Lopez Rivera and Anna Lopez and all our call-in family. Next week, we have a big one for you. We have an author of a book dealing with Mamiya Abu-Jamal. As you know, July 3rd, all over the United States, we will be struggling and uniting to free Mamia Abu-Jamal. We hope you will tune in. And we want to thank our tech star because tonight was interesting. Out we go. WBAI 99.5 FM.
Donate to the new abolitionist movement.
209-2950.
To abolish miseducation in New York City and to abolish the Central Board of Education. We are organized on the principles that abolished slavery over 100 years ago. We understand that miseducation equals new slavery. It can be conquered by persons who believe in equality and are willing to confront injustice with courage, even if that injustice is supported by so-called authorities. We will be tenacious in our personal and spiritual beliefs to create an education system based upon respect, civility, discipline, and love of learning. We understand the anti-slavery movement to be the high point in American history because they saw the truth and followed it to its logical moral conclusion without fear of government or laws of man. They worked, fought, and died to make self-evident the words of the Declaration of Independence. We now pick up that banner to struggle, we being all people of goodwill and moral convictions without regard to race, religion, class, age, or gender. We support education, not incarceration. Join us. Allow us to join you. For more info, call 917-853-9759. That's 917-853-9759.
Hey, I can't find nothing on the radio.
Well, tune in to WBAI and you certainly will get an earful.
You'll turn to that station.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
And you can ensure that WBAI is here for you now and in the future through WBAI's Tower Fund. Go to towerfund.wbai.org and contribute what you can to ensure that the room which houses WBAI's transmitter at 4 Times Square, which costs $17,000 a month, is paid through the coming year. Please go to Tower Fund at WBAI.org or phone 212-209-2950 to help secure WBAI's future.
Hey, thank you to all of you for contributing. And we hope that you are, we hope that you will decide to make a contribution in support of this commercial-free, listener-sponsored radio station.
And I need to try to drive that point home. Yes, WBAI is in a crisis, an emergency, with a great need to pay the back rent at the tower. And here in Brooklyn at our studios, 212-209-2950 to pledge any amount, tax-deductible amount, to keep this radio station on the air. What's happening came to you entirely live over WBAI New York, an upcoming Revolutions Per Minute. But in order for these programs to continue to have a home to broadcast from, we need to continue to have access to our transmitter. If we lose the transmitter, we have no radio station. If we lose the studio, we have no way to connect to the transmitter and to you listeners. So